Good Wednesday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The United Nations team that investigated the Sarajevo mortar bomb that killed 68 people has come up empty. In Zagreb, Canadian Colonel Michel Gauthier said it could have been fired by either side.
There is insufficient physical evidence to prove that one party or the other fired the mortar bomb. The mortar bomb in question could have been fired by either side.
The first civilian has been killed since the start of the Sarajevo ceasefire, a man hit in the head by a bullet as he walked along Sniper Alley. The UN is appealing for about 3,000 more troops to be sent to Bosnia to police the pullback of Serb guns around Sarajevo, even as the Bosnian Serb commander, General Ratko Mladic, is vowing not to pull back any guns. Lieutenant General Michael Rose, the British UN commander in Bosnia, needs the troops for new monitoring tasks and needs them fast. He can't count on Russia. Moscow has refused a UN request to move some of its 1,200 paratroopers from Croatia into Bosnia. Russian officials are said to fear a violent backlash at home if Russian soldiers are killed in Yugoslavia. Russia's Bosnia envoy, Vitali Cherkin, left a Belgrade meeting today with Serbian President Milosevic, voicing optimism for a negotiated Sarajevo settlement.
There is peace in that city. It is fragile peace, but it is something which is taking root, and we are doing everything we can in order to make it a firmer and more lasting peace in Sarajevo and the whole of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Another Russian deputy foreign minister says Moscow sees the NATO ultimatum to Bosnian Serbs as illegal and will do all it can at the UN to prevent Allied airstrikes. NATO ambassadors in Brussels have agreed they will not extend the Sunday night deadline for Serb guns to be withdrawn. Just one day after the Clinton administration set in motion a possible trade war, Japan is claiming it kept its word in a disputed cellular phone deal. At the same time, Tokyo reports yet another surge in its bitterly contentious trade surplus with the rest of the world. It shot up almost $1 billion in January to $6.1 billion, more than half of that with the U.S. But economists are predicting the trend will soon be reversed as a rising yen makes Japanese goods more expensive overseas. The most recent U.S.-Japan dispute is over Motorola's effort to strengthen its foothold in the Tokyo-Nagoya cellular phone market. On the ABC News broadcast Nightline, Tokyo's ambassador in Washington, Takakazu Karamaya, predicted it can be worked out.
This is really a period for mutual restraint. As far as the cellular telephone case is concerned, I'm led to believe that the Japanese operator and the Motorola are prepared to resume negotiations in order to arrive at a mutually satisfactory arrangement.
But U.S. Trade Representative Mickey Cantor on the same broadcast said Americans have heard all that before.
We would be delighted to reach an agreement, as Motorola has indicated, but every time we reach an agreement, it appears that a new obstacle is thrown up in our way.
Also in Tokyo today, another remarkably candid report on the automobile industry, as correspondent James Hattori reports.
A two-year study released this morning confirms what America's big three automakers have long believed, that the deck is stacked against foreign car sales in Japan. But it's more than the same old industry accusation. This report was co-sponsored by the Japanese government. Louis Goldfarb with the Chrysler Corporation.
Here we have an admission by the Japanese government that the market is closed, and yet they haven't really negotiated with us to open it up.
The study says Japanese car dealers, 25% of which are owned by automakers, are discouraged from handling foreign cars. Half the dealers reject imports out of loyalty to their domestic supplier. American cars that are sold in Japan cost 40% more than the same models in the U.S. due to shipping, but also complex distribution and certification requirements. Yet the study says among owners of cars worth $28,000 or more, 70% would consider switching to an import. Andrew Card is an auto industry lobbyist.
I'm not predicting that Japanese consumers should have to buy American cars. I'm predicting that they will want to buy American cars, and they should have that choice.
With tensions already rising across the Pacific, the last thing Japan needs is more evidence of unfair trade practices, especially from a report it paid for. James Hattori, CBS News, Tokyo.
Harsh winter weather and the Los Angeles earthquake helped drive down January housing starts almost 18%. Residential construction was off in every region except the West, where, despite the earthquake, starts edged up 0.3%. At least 134 people have been killed and 500 seriously injured in a powerful earthquake that hit a mountainous area of Indonesia's Sumatra Island. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake registered 7.2 on the Richter scale. Carl Noclair, head of the Red Cross in Asia, says initial reports are sketchy.
It's very difficult to say what the destruction is, but I think all these government structures will be destroyed completely.
The quake struck just after midnight, killing many victims in their beds. 10 people have been trapped by a roof collapse at the Seven Springs Resort, southwest of Philadelphia. We have no further information. Figure skater Tanya Harding arrived in Oslo today and was whisked off to the skating center at Hamar, where she and rival Nancy Kerrigan will practice for next week's competition. Harding didn't talk to the press in Norway, but did have a few words at a stopover in Copenhagen.
Do you think the judges will be biased against you?
I have nothing to say.
Will you have a meeting with Nancy Kerrigan, do you think, this evening?
I don't know.
Are you confident now?
Yes.
There are reports Harding failed 2 out of 3 lie detector tests in which she was asked about her possible role in the attack on Kerrigan. Correspondent Connie Chung, who made the trip with Harding, said she was upbeat.
She was very excited. She said she wanted to thank the association, presumably the U.S. Figure Skating Association, for letting her have the opportunity to skate at the Olympics. She said she was feeling very lucky.
In today's competition, American skier Liz McIntyre picked up the silver medal in moguls. President Clinton views foreign policy as a means for creating trade and U.S. jobs. At this hour, he's to announce a $6 billion deal in which Saudi Arabia buys commercial jetliners from Boeing and McDonnell Douglas. Helicopters last night crisscrossed the skies over Corona, California, spraying malathion to combat Mediterranean fruit flies. Some people left town and homeless people went to shelters to escape the spraying. More from David Dow.
State officials sent the choppers into the latest medfly battlefront after California's Supreme Court turned down a last-minute effort to stop it. Mayor Bill Miller and other leaders of Corona, 50 miles southeast of Los Angeles, insisted the aerial spraying was potentially dangerous and unnecessary.
This is being described in Corona as an infestation, when in fact one medfly was found 2 months ago and none have been found subsequent.
But state authorities cite the risks if the medfly infestation spreads. The loss of $1 billion in annual produce sales to Japan and other nations. A major blow to a state already besieged by a bad economy and a major earthquake. State agriculture spokesman Carl DeWing.
The state simply cannot take another major economic hit that the medfly would cause if it became established in California.
Last night's spraying was the first of at least 8 doses of malathion for the 18-square-mile area, where the controversy lingers on. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
San Francisco health officials say the number of new AIDS cases in San Francisco has peaked and should decline dramatically by 1997. Overseas, the dollar is higher, London gold is off 90 cents, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones average is ahead 11.82 at 3940.09. It's 10 past the hour.